to my throne today, and it went all good. You know, he had, you know, we didn't push that hard, but did some light throwing, which was a good sign that the pain had to come back, and we'll rest it tomorrow and see how he feels as the week goes. But yes, it's true. I mean, most guys get, we always get more than one. When you get one and it seems all right, then you have some pain later in the week, so you get another one to make sure you didn't miss anything. And so that's what he did, I think, after the Thursday practice.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
That was Kyle Shanahan earlier today on his conference call with the media talking about Brock Purdy, saying that he did some light throwing today. The shoulder responded as well as you could hope for, and that he confirmed that Brock Purdy did indeed get two MRIs on his quote-unquote sore shoulder from yesterday. We will hear that full conference call coming up in about 15 minutes here on Willard and Dibs, but you might notice no Willard or Dibs today. I'm Mark Randy, joined by the great Lo Neal and Jake Hutchinson. Of course, you know Lo, one of the greatest fullbacks of all time, and you read Jake all the time covering Niners and all things Bay Area sports on 95.7 The Game. Niners certainly missed Brock Purdy yesterday. Brandon Allen, not bad, but there's no doubt this Niner offense does not look anywhere near as good without Brock Purdy. And if they have any chance at doing anything, we were talking about the NFC West. Niners still only somehow a game out from first place, which makes no sense considering how poorly they've played. But if they have any chance of doing anything, making anything out of this year, they desperately need Brock Purdy back.
No question. Yeah. I mean, technically, it's a game, but they're also losing every tiebreaker as it stands right now. And they
you're going to have to jump. You're going to have to jump everybody.
Yeah,
so you're two games out, basically.
Yeah, they got to find five wins down the stretch if we're, you know, I think this thing's over. But if they're going to do it, that's what they've got to do. And two of those have to be against the Rams and the Cardinals because they've got to win the division. I don't think they're stealing a wild card spot. But, yeah, Purdy's got to be back unless – actually, there's no unless. Purdy has to come back or this thing's cooked.
Yeah.
I don't know. Lo might believe in Josh Dobbs. I don't know.
No. Wait, whoa, Mark. Don't put me. Hey, listen. I am not saying that Mark that Dobbs is the answer by no stretch of imagination. I was just saying that you're already out of it. You don't necessarily, you're not going to win that game yesterday.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
So, okay, cool. Because I was like, I was ready to defend myself. I'm like, please. He's got slim to none, and none has left the building. The guy, he's just a guy. He's a stopgap quarterback, and I get that. But no, it's going to be tough for them to get in. But you see, Seattle went out there because the Niners gave them hope. If you win that game last week against Seattle, now you got a two-game up against Seattle. Seattle takes care of, take care of the Cardinals.
Yeah.
So now you're in a good situation.
Yeah.
Even though you have lost yesterday, you're still in a better situation because you win the tiebreaker against Seattle. Now Seattle's winning the conference, which is unbelievable. So you just got to focus on trying to win. The Niners can't think about the conference. They got to think about just winning a game.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to be tough against Buffalo. You guys know that. Buffalo's going to be coming off of a bye. I think they're playing against the MVP of the league. I think that Josh Allen, to me, the way that he plays, he's got rid of all the other receivers, the big-name receivers, and look what Josh Allen has done. He put the team on his back, and it's his team. And this guy, watching that 4th-and-2 against Kansas City a couple weeks back, Jake, you got to admit, the guy, he's
unbelievable. Yeah. And I want to bring us all back to 2020 when the 49ers were, you know, doing their residency in Arizona when it was that weird COVID year. And I don't know if everybody remembers it, but their whole thing was they were talking it up going into the Bills game. I think they were also 5-6 at that time. I might be wrong on that. But it was a similar situation. They had the Bills coming up. Nick Mullins was a quarterback, but they were optimistic. They said, I think we can win this game, and that'll get us on the right track. And then they actually played well. And then Josh Allen just took a flamethrower to him, and that was their season. And I said a couple months ago, I think this game, I marked it as this could be the game, just like in 2020, you face the Bills, you're like, all right, we just get this win somehow. I think it's far less optimistic right now than it was then. But this is the game I think you just go, they're going to get throttled, and that's going to be it for them.
Yeah, it was week 13, 2020.
Wow.
Niners were 5-6.
Yeah,
they technically hosted the Buffalo Bills in Arizona and lost 34-24 and finished that year 6-10, which honestly was probably better than some people expected given all the injuries that they had that year.
This
is a different Josh Allen now.
My goodness! Yeah, I mean, do you? Who says the Niners can stay within 21 this week? I mean, it's because it's that bad right now.
And you talked about the Seahawks game last week. I mean, what the Niners have done to themselves with all these rough losses, like the Cardinals game and
the Rams.
The Rams, that might be the worst of them all.
That was the worst. You had a home, the Rams game, it was all Niner fans there. You're up by double digits. The Rams had all the backup offensive linemen. You remember they freaking found guys on the street and signed?
No Puka Nacua, no Cooper Kupp, and no offensive linemen. You're right. And you found a way to lose, to blow a 10-point fourth-quarter lead. But what the Niners have done with all of those losses is you made a game like yesterday and the game next week in Buffalo. You made it like games you got to have. When, if you come into this situation yesterday without your starting quarterback, without your starting left tackle, without your edge rusher, without star receiver and Brandon Ayuk, without all these guys, if you just take care of business a couple of other games, you can afford to lose that game yesterday.
Right.
But you can't really afford it anymore. Like, they've given themselves no leeway and no room to slip up. And they slipped up, and now you're looking at, as you said, season might just be over.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think you looked at the schedule before the season started, and you said, all right, by the bye, they need to be at minimum 5-3. Like, that has to be the bare minimum. They limped in 4-4, and then at the bye, they said, it was basically, okay, maybe Christian McCaffrey can save our season. No, that's not happening. And that's where we are. They had to do their work early, which is not something this team historically likes to do. And they messed around, and now they're in this situation where everybody's hurt. They're not playing good football, and they need to beat a team that's way better than them.
Right.
And it's just an impossible situation.
I knew it was over. The game, not the Ram game, but the game that I said, okay, they're done, Arizona.
Same. Well, week five, right?
Yeah, because Arizona, you're up by two. With, like, what, 4 minutes left? You remember that? And Arizona threw the ball, I think, one time on the drive. You're up by two. You're at home. You're winning that game. Arizona took the ball and ran it down their throat. And the Niners had no answer.
I was with Nick Bosa on the field.
And I said, yep. And I said, after watching that game, I said, for whatever reason, I said, this team's not getting there. And no disrespect. There's still some great guys, and this team's going to bounce back. You have years like this. But watching that game that day when you were up by two and you're at home and you needed to win that game, and they had no answer to stop the run, Arizona took the ball and went right down their throat.
James Conner just bullied him, just
bullied
like Josh
him.
Jacobs.
It's bullied him.
And this was something that I think was pretty obvious in the offseason is their defensive tackle group, they were relying on Hargrave and Malik Collins. I think Malik Collins has played well, but he's not a great run defender. Kyle Shanahan called Jordan Elliott their best run defender. That's not what I see on tape.
He's in the concussion protocol now, too.
Right. And I don't think he's a good run defender. And the way they just fundamentally defend the run is problematic. But they didn't get themselves a great run stopper up the middle when that was how you go back to Lions game. They just ran duo at him and double teamed him and moved their defensive tackles out like they were nothing. And they didn't address it. And then, lo and behold, all of these teams that have physical running backs are just dominating you. I don't think it's a surprise.
It's crazy because the beginning of the Shanahan and Lynch era was the Niners building from the trenches and then building out. And as we've already talked about a little bit, both on the air and off the air, now the Niners are so committed to picking skill position players and building from the outside back in, but they're getting dominated on both lines of scrimmage. And Lowe, I mean, one of the greatest fullbacks of all time. You know how important the run game is and controlling the run game when you're on defense. And the Niners, for a large part of this season, have been at a disadvantage almost on both sides. They haven't been able to run the ball. Even with McCaffrey back, their run game has gone down since McCaffrey came back, which is really, really odd. Even before yesterday, which was really bad without Trent Williams, but the run game has decreased with McCaffrey in. And like yesterday, obviously with no Nick Bosa, that's a big part of it. Josh Jacobs runs all over you. It happened against James Conner in Arizona, as you're pointing out as well. Yep. This is a team that is no longer dominating teams in the trenches, and that was their calling card for so many years.
Well, you guys both know this. When the 49ers were running great in Kyle Shanahan's offense, even in Denver, even when they had friggin' think about what he did, even when he was with the Washington at the time, Redskins, and now in the Commanders. Who was the quarterback? You saw RG3 had his best season. Why? Because they had the read offense. They were option, and he let him pull the ball and do it. You watched the way the Niners, when they were dumb, even with your quarterback, when you had a guy who was statuesque, Jimmy G, why would he win? You played good defense, but you could run the ball. He would throw the ball, against Minnesota, ran the ball at three past three games?
Yeah.
Eight
in
passes?
The playoffs? Yeah, playoffs. It's like seven times or something.
The ball
against Green Bay in the NFC title,
yes,
too.
Seven
yeah.
times, right? And we ran the ball.
Raheem Mostert had like 250
yes.
yards.
And
yeah.
that's what you have. When you have Kyle Shanahan offense thrives, it thrives behind a great running game because of the fact the linebackers have to shoot up because you're stretching. They have to play the run first. And then the tight end or the people right behind at the second level, windows, those six routes, those in routes, all that stuff come open because Kyle Shanahan's offense is a run first type of offense. And that's how the passing game is opens up. And it's not there.
Yeah.
It's not there.
I'm with you. That's how Jimmy got it. They just would run outside. You're right. The linebackers would come down, and then Jimmy would throw over the middle
yep.
almost every single time. And,
almost too much.
Right. No question. He couldn't throw outside of the numbers. So you had to throw it down the middle, but the running game let them do that.
And it almost doesn't even matter in Shanahan's tenure, whether he's been a coach, head coach, or an offensive play caller. It doesn't even really matter who the running back is.
It did matter. The one thing this team has did for the last 5 years under his era, when they played well, it was one thing they could do. You know they were going to run the ball. They can't run
yep.
it.
Yep. Elijah Mitchell and...
Didn't matter. Wilson.
Yeah.
Jeff Wilson.
It was Raheem Mostert.
This team could run the ball.
Yep.
Where's the run? You can't run. You can't win.
Now you got... I mean, doesn't look like the best running back right now because it's been so bad through 3 weeks, but he was the offensive player of the year last year, and you can't run the football right now. It's bad. It is bad news for the 49ers. They're now 5-6 after losing yesterday in Green Bay, 38-10. Okay, let's hear from Kyle Shanahan. That's coming up next. His conference call with the media. But the Warriors, they're also back in action at home, taking on the Nets tonight. That means Warriors Live with Evan Giddings begins at 6, presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. And we are sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's Willard and Dibbs, but no Willard and Dibbs this week. It's Mark Randy, Lo Neal, Jay Hutchinson. We're back with more, and we'll hear from Kyle Shanahan next on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
There we go, Lo.
Y'all like how
there
your boy
go,
Lo. Y'all like that voice, how your boy Lo come in there. Hey.
Smoothly.
I came at the door. I said it before. I'll never let the mic magnetize me no more.
Hey.
But it's biting me to rhyme. I can't hold back. I'm looking for my line. Taking off my coat. Clearing my throat. My rhymes will be kicking until I hit my last note.
Oh.
Hey, let's get it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that sure as hell ain't Willard and Dibbs, huh?
No, Dibbs can't do that. Shut up, Dibbs. Go to hell, Dibbs.
In case you haven't noticed, it's Lo Neal, not Willard and Dibbs, along with Mark Randy and Jay Hutchinson here on 95.7 The Game. Lo Neal.
Jay with State Farm. Let's go, baby.
You're trying to make us all feel a little bit better after that loss by the Niners yesterday, huh?
You know what? If you can't laugh and enjoy, and trust me, I've been on teams that win two games. I've had coaches quit in the middle of the season. Jim Moore when I was with the Saints. Mm. I've been on teams that win two games, and with the Cincinnati Bengals, the Bongles, and people wearing the bags over. We had the Black Knight, Achilles Smith, another Oregon guy
hey.
In New York, but he was absolutely a hung to. I mean, love the guy. Love him, but I mean, I know you're Oregon guy, but I mean, I'm telling you, it was like, it just... You know you didn't have a chance.
Yep.
And you had to go to practice. It's cold. You're in a dirty natty. It's freezing. And you're out there and it's snowing on the ground. And you got to go out there and practice. And guys are like, I'm sick. They're not even out there. And you're still out there. And you're just watching your team and your players around you. And you're like, what is going on? What did I sign up for? And you could even have a great deal of resolve to get better, resolve to say, okay, how do I channel my inner self to say, I'm not going to go with the status quo? Because it gets hard when Niners are going through a little bit of adversity. This team's going to bounce back. It's a good organization. Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, they got this place going the right. It's going in the right direction. This is just a bump in the road. But I was on that dirty natty, bro. We knew that it did, you know, we would have a meeting every Tuesday at the office where we just go and it's just a couple guys, the old heads is going to say, what did we sign up for? And just drown ourselves in sorrows. But tough times don't last, tough people do. And that was a year, believe it or not, you go look at the record. I went to the Pro Bowl that year. Went to a Pro Bowl where you only won, I think, two or three games because I said, I'm not going to let this define me. I'm not going to let this, where we're at, this record, where people are going to look at me and say, when you turn on the tape, I remember playing against the Tennessee Titans that year, and freaking three guys I knocked out on the game kickoff. Mitchell came down, Donald Mitchell, boom, knocked him out, came on kickoff. I put him to sleep, carried him off the field because he's my boy. I mean, taking Randall Goffrey, we ran lead draw against Randall Goffrey, took his helmet off. I mean, just I played angry because we were losing. And that's the thing that you want to see, and you want to see guys, when you're down and out and it seems like you can't reach the goal that you started off to see, because every season everyone says it's a Super Bowl. But you still can reach goals that you have personally. And that's what some of the things that kept me going. I think that's why I played so long, is because of the fact when it was tough and it was dark and it was grim and you knew you didn't have a chance to get to a playoff, it was just like, all right, today, give your heart to God and give your behind to me, because I'm going to take it out of you.
I love that. I love that. And I think that's what you need from your vets, right?
Right.
The NFL, you know better than anybody, it's got to be the hardest league in the world when you don't have a chance. Because in other leagues, it's whatever. You can tank. In the NFL, you can't be out there just
jogging around. You get killed. You'll get hurt.
Genuinely. Genuinely. And so I think with the 49ers, this thing keeps going south. I think the thing you got to watch out for is making sure the rookies and some of these younger guys who haven't been in this program the whole time, they don't lose that steam, that energy, and they keep building and have goals. And I think guys like Kittle, who, you know, you can criticize him for maybe being, you know, fake happy and all that.
I love him, though.
But I think it is sincere.
Plays with joy.
I think it's sincere. And he plays with joy, and he does force guys to have fun, even when it's rough.
Yeah.
And so I think that sort of stuff is important.
That's why I hope Greenlaw comes back. And for me,
he lights up our room.
Yeah.
No question.
Because if he comes back, you'll have a guy that on defense, he won't take it. He's that guy that you're missing, that attitude guy that's saying, okay, I'm going to knock you out then. We're getting ready to lose, but I'm going to knock your butt off. And that's what I think this defense is missing. So hopefully he can come back to get that spark.
Yeah,
with
no doubt.
Completely.
And Kyle Shanahan did provide an update on Dre Greenlaw during his conference call earlier today. That and a whole lot more. You heard a snippet of him talk about Brock Purdy. We'll hear that. We'll hear everything Kyle Shanahan said earlier today on his conference call with the media. He began, as always, by talking about injuries from the loss yesterday in Green Bay.
All right, guys, injuries from the game. Aaron Banks will be in the concussion protocol. Jordan Elliott also in the concussion protocol. Renardo Green hurt his neck. He's going to be day-to-day. Flanagan Fowles, knee, he'll also be day-to-day. And then Pooney had a shoulder. We're still waiting for the MRI to get back, so still being evaluated on that. The same situation with Demo, who banged knees in the game. We're still waiting on his MRI to get back, too. That's it from guys from the game. Go ahead.
What about Brock Purdy? Did he do any throwing today, or will he do any? And what's the plan for him early this week?
Yeah, he did some light throwing today, and it went all good. You know, we didn't push it that hard, but did some light throwing, which was a good sign that the pain hadn't come back, and we'll rest it tomorrow and see how he feels as the week goes.
It was reported over the weekend by Jay Glazer that Brock Purdy had a second MRI on his shoulder. Is that true? And if so, why a second one?
Because, yes, it's true. I mean, most guys get, we always get more than one. When you get one and it seems all right, then you have some pain later in the week. So you get another one to make sure you didn't miss anything. And so that's what he did, I think, after the Thursday practice.
What is the nature of his injury?
The shoulder.
Kyle, were there issues with the footing yesterday? I mean, Jake Moody from the start of the game slipped on that first kickoff. Were there issues with that was causing some of the missed tackles and whatnot?
Yeah, there was definitely issues with the footing. It happened to our quarterback in a number of plays, but it happened to a bunch of guys throughout the game, and guys were fixing their cleats. Some did in pregame, some did it right into the game, but that's an issue at Lambeau that time of the year.
And
you talked yesterday about your frustration over the penalties after watching the film, the video. How can you go about fixing that? Obviously, you still want players to play aggressive, but as you've noted several times, the penalties are really hurting you guys.
Yeah, you look at each penalty, and the ones that you can correct, you correct. Going back to, I think on the second play of the game for offense, Pooney went a little bit early, and that's something he's just going to have better patience with. Changing the, the cadences are always subtly different when you change quarterbacks, but it's something we harped on hard, especially Thursday and Friday, once we realized what was happening. And that got us there. The false start that they called on Jake later in the game, we had been doing it that way all year, so we didn't see anything wrong with this. We're going to have to check with the league on that because he didn't move or anything. They just said he snapped it too early, so it's some disagreements there. A couple of the holding calls, especially on the long kick return, you know, didn't totally see it the same way, but the other two I did, and we got to be better with that. So, you know, the timing of those penalties, and we didn't overcome either. I think on one drive we overcame the third and one penalty. And other times we didn't. So the pre-snap ones we got to be much better at. Those are the ones we can avoid. But a couple of those I got to get talk to the league on.
Hey, Kyle, to clarify, the assumption is that Brock would be available to play against Buffalo if he doesn't have pain this week. And if not, then Brandon Allen would start?
Yeah, to clarify, guys, with Brock's shoulder, it's exactly what I've worded to you guys every time. You know, it's we got the MRI last week. His shoulder was bothering him. We thought it would be all right by Thursday, and it hurt worse Thursday than it did earlier in the week. So we rested it throughout the weekend, hoping that would help. He threw lighter today to see if that rest helped, and the rest did help him. So we'll see again, going through the same things we did last week. We're going to let him rest all the way up to Wednesday. We'll see how it feels on Wednesday, and then we'll take the exact same course throughout the week, and hopefully it responds better this week than it did last week with the rest.
Kyle, with these back-to-back long trips and Thanksgiving this week, kind of what will this week look like in terms of practice and workload, et cetera?
Not much different. I mean, I start a little bit earlier on Thanksgiving. We start earlier so I can get the guys, you know, guys' families don't have to wait as long for them to get home. My family gets very annoyed with me because I get home pretty late for Thanksgiving, so it ends up being a later dinner, but, you know, for the coaches and stuff, but we try to move everything up, get going earlier so the guys can get out, have a Thanksgiving, and then the next day. We'll start a little bit earlier to catch up on stuff we didn't finish with the film, and then we'll be on our way to Buffalo.
Are you planning to open the window for Dre Greenlaw this week, or where does that stand?
Yeah, Dre should. We are going to open it this week. He should be able to start practicing on Wednesday.
Have you had a chance to talk to Nick Bosa and Trent Williams, and how are they doing?
I mean, they're in the same boat Brock is, really. You know, we have the MRIs and everything. We kind of understand it, but just waiting to see how they respond. They didn't respond great last week. That's why they weren't able to go. Nick and Trent are both in the same boat. You know, Nick with his hip and oblique and Trent with his ankle. And we'll evaluate as this week progresses, and hopefully it turns a better corner than it did last week.
Now, after seeing the film, how do you view the way Brandon played at quarterback? And if Brock can't go, is he definitely the starter then in Buffalo?
Yes, you know, unless something crazy happened during the week. But I thought Brandon did some real good things. You know, he had one real bad decision at the beginning of the game early where he threw it to number 7. Unfortunately, that guy dropped it. But I thought he made some big plays in the game that gave us a chance to get back into it. You know, him going across the board and getting that touchdown to Kittle. He had a couple big third downs. I thought he had a hell of a throw on the one that Debo tipped and ended up being intercepted. And I think his two toughest plays were a keeper on 2nd and 7 where he slipped right before he threw it. I think the next play, I think, was that pick. But what he does have to do better is protect the ball in the pocket. And the ball was on the ground too much.
Kyle, what are you seeing from Fred Warner? Do you think he's just pressing? It looks like he's missing the plays that he's been making consistently over the last few years. How would you evaluate his play during the last couple of weeks?
I still think Fred's the man. I think Fred's playing at a high level. I know he had more missed tackles than he's had. You know, I think he had, I want to say 4, which is too much for anyone and way too much for him. You know, so obviously he can do better in that way, but Fred's still playing like one of the best linebackers in the league. So I know he's got a real high standard. So when he has something like that, it's going to stick out. Fred's still playing like one of the best players in this league.
Kyle, I mean, the defense had 19 missed tackles overall. Where's the disconnect between the coaching and what they're able to do on the field?
I wouldn't say there's a disconnect. I would say, you know, especially in that first half, they got some guys in space, and we sat in a chair a little too much versus that running back. And when you come to a jump stop on that running back, he is going to break your ankles. And he did it to a number of guys. It always helps if you can get 2 people there. But when we had 1 person there, he did as good as I've seen anyone make someone miss tackles in the way he ran. I thought we did better there in the second half. I think we ended up counting 12, so I know PFF has different numbers than we do, but it doesn't matter. 12 still way too many also. I thought we tightened it up there in the second half and tackled better and got him in some third downs and got off the field, which I thought gave us every chance to get back in the game. And then so that was really tough to do when we led three drives in a row with three turnovers in a row. So that's really what killed us.
What's it going to take to get Debo going? It's been a few weeks now, and he is struggling from scrimmage, struggling in the receiving. Does he have the burst that he needs?
I think he has the burst that he needs. You know, he didn't get a lot of opportunities last night. He had a pretty good kick return that I thought would have changed the huge momentum of the game. Unfortunately, got called back with that holding call. I thought he had a good screen. And then the two plays he's got to do, he's got to catch both of those balls. And if he catches both of those balls, he's got a chance to, you know, to do what he's good at after that and run with it. And he didn't get that opportunity because he didn't catch both those balls. So if he does, then that would be two more opportunities. And as far as anyone, I mean, we didn't get anybody going in that game. There was, you know, we weren't consistent, and, you know, we didn't participate very much in the first half. And in the second half, with those turnovers and everything, just killing our drives. And I think we had a total of 50-something plays, but we really weren't able to, you know, stay out there consistently enough to get any player going.
Kyle, Fred after the game said that there were run looks that they weren't prepared for. Is it more Josh Jacobs and his ability, or is it just purely not being ready for what they were dishing out?
No, I mean, you're going to see different formations and different run looks every game. When you do see that, you can't get out of your gaps. And there was a couple times that we had guys get out of the gaps. I'd say on the second play of the game, they got a long one. They caught us just in a blitz. We were doing a blitz. And when you blitz and they run the ball and you can get someone out of a gap, you're going to get 15 yards like that right up to the deep safety. After that, a couple looks that they had, we had guys overrun it. They cut out our DN, and there's not a guy in the gap, which leads to an explosive. And we had too many of those in the first half, without a doubt. And when you give a back like that kind of space and they're getting 10 yards before contact, he's usually going to make that one guy left look pretty bad. And that's what we had way too many of.
If Charvarius, is he going to practice in full this week?
Yes. That's the plan. You know, he got a lot of work in last week. You know, he just did most of it with the scout team and stuff, and seems in good spirits, and hopefully he'll come out there Wednesday, and we'll see how it goes. It's not something I'm pushing him on hard and trying to go at his speed, and but I know how he talked last week and everything, and hopefully he'll be able to take another step forward with that this week.
How do you feel about sort of the big picture playoff race, and to be at 5-6 at this point, how sort of urgent, desperate? I mean, do you view every game now as sort of must win to keep your chances alive?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think everyone knows, you know, you've got to look at it for a couple minutes to realize where we're at. You know, it's nice when you're one game out of first in your own division. So that does say a lot, you know, especially being able to play two of those teams left of our six games. But you also know, you look at the whole NFC picture, and if you don't win the division, it's, you know, it's 10-7 is not guaranteed to get in as a wild card by any means this year. So I think everyone understands completely outside and inside what the situation is. That's why that Seattle game was so tough of a loss, and that's why last night was even worse. So we know what we got ahead of us. We know exactly what that playoff situation is. You know, that is what it is, but really all that matters is this week. When you do need to go on a run and put a lot of wins to even think of that, then you better make sure you're only thinking of one thing, and that's Buffalo. And so we've had to take care of a lot of stuff today. Hoping the guys will take care of their body stuff here over the day and a half they're away from us, and we'll come back Wednesday fully understanding the situation we're in and coming back ready to fight, because that's all we can do right now is just fight our asses off. And I'll be very surprised that not every guy in this building, when I see them Wednesday, isn't ready for that exact mindset that we're going to need to pull off what we feel we can. All right, guys, thanks.
That's Kyle Shanahan earlier today, his conference call with the media. Welcome back, Willard and Dibbs here on 95.7 The Game. But no Willard and Dibbs this week for Thanksgiving week. Happy Thanksgiving, early Thanksgiving to everybody out there. It's Mark Randy, the great Lo Neal, and Jake Hutchinson with you here on Willard and Dibbs. Shanahan said a lot of interesting things there. First of all, some injury updates. Brock Purdy lightly throwing today. Shoulder responded well. He had two MRIs on that sore shoulder yesterday. He will rest tomorrow. They'll check it out on Wednesday, see how he progresses throughout the week. Dre Greenlaw, the Niners, are also opening his practice window, which means they have 21 days to activate him, and he can start playing football at some point. No guarantee that it happens this week, but it is a possibility. We will see as it goes along there. He also said interesting things about Deebo Samuel and his lack of involvement in the offense of late, and also missed tackles. But I want to focus on one thing he said at the very end right there, talking about the urgency that he says he feels that the team definitely has. He says, quote, "I think everyone understands completely outside and inside what the situation is." I don't know how you guys react when hearing that, because I think everybody on the outside of the organization has felt that kind of urgency for like a month now, but it seems like it hasn't really quite found its way to all of the players inside the organization based on how they've played at times so far this year. So there might be a little bit of a disconnect there. They should have been feeling this a while ago, and maybe they were and it just didn't quite work out for them. But that's something that caught my eye, because this is a feeling that they should have been having for quite a long time already this year.
Yeah, I think it goes with the whole feeling of this season of just nothing has got into that gear.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't need it to be, you know, whatever stakes it is, which is your season is on the line every single game, to get in gear. And even if that is the case, it's they're probably not going to get in that gear, because yeah, I don't think they have it. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think Kyle Shanahan and this team knows what the stakes are. They've known for a while. But they also just don't, I don't think they have the horses this year to really do it. And I think the way they've been inconsistent in every aspect of the game just makes it hard to say, all right, time to turn it on. They played basically one good quarter of football this year, the third quarter against the Dallas Cowboys. And outside of that, I don't know. I have not seen this team be in that gear that would make me, even if they somehow beat the Bills, I don't see it for this team competing with the Lions, the Eagles, any of these top teams that are really gunning for a championship. They just don't have it this year.
Yeah, I'm with you. Same church, same pew. You can sit on my lap this time.
I'm good. I'm all right.
You'll pass. That's I'll a hard pass. Yeah. Exactly. I just look at this team and think about what Kyle Shanahan was saying. Missed tackles. Deebo, two drops. Said, hey, get Deebo involved more. You catch those two passes, guess what? Those could be some big plays for Deebo, get, you know, to get him going. He didn't do it. You saw the screen that he had. Talked about how explosive that was. The kickoff return, how explosive that was. So he has the explosiveness in him. So you got to make a conscious effort to say that I have to do better. The 12 men on the field, one time. Okay, I can accept it one time. The second time, right back in a row. Okay, that's not good. This team is not good in the second half. Second half, have you seen this team win a second half football game? Have you seen this team? You think about all the second half teams you play. Dallas almost came back and beat you in the fourth quarter. Arizona beat you in the fourth quarter.
Tampa darn near did it too.
Tampa came back and almost beat you in the fourth quarter. When you lost to the Rams, came back and beat you double digits in the fourth quarter. This is not a second half team. This team perkers out, you know, peters out. It just doesn't have it. Not enough horses. So what makes you think you can go on the road and play against the number one team in the AFC, the best team in the AFC, right now today? If you said, who is the team to beat in the AFC? It's the Buffalo Bills, off of a bye. You're going to go play Josh Allen in the snow when it's freezing, off of a bye, and they know that Baltimore Ravens and all those other teams, they're trying to play for home field advantage. This is a team that's pretty dialed up. I understand what Cal's saying. He's saying everyone in this building knows a sense of urgency. Everyone knows what's at stake. It's when this you lose this game, you own 15%. That think if you lost yesterday, went down to 15% chance of making the playoffs. You're at 15%, barely double digits. Yeah. It's going to be very hard for you to go to Buffalo with a team that their season, the home field advantage, everything is on the line for Buffalo. You think Buffalo is going to take it easy? Buffalo, you think they're going to put on kid gloves? You're going to Buffalo on the road in a hostile environment. People are going to be jumping off of chairs.
Sunday night football.
Sunday night football.
Yeah. Night game. Yep.
Night game.
The Niners might need to sacrifice somebody to the pit behind
them. Exactly.
That's what they need. They got to go. Yeah.
I mean, even if this was a Niners team that had 10 wins and only had one loss on the year, this still might be a game they would lose.
I think
even if they were playing like
be.
Last
yeah.
year, like this might be a game
yes,
they would lose.
You could have everyone yeah. on the team go pick Buckner back up. Go get it. Go get a couple other guys. Hey, this is tall cotton, guys. Just realistically, this is tall cotton. That Seattle game and that Ram game and that it's a couple of those games that you let get away. The Cardinals.
Yep.
Those games right now are at the forefront because now you're getting ready to play the Goliaths.
Yeah.
This is you played Goliath last week. You played that team you played Green Bay. But this one even is a bigger juggernaut to me than even Green Bay.
And then you have another juggernaut coming in the future when the Detroit Lions come to town.
Right.
And Lions Bills might be the most likely Super Bowl scenario right now. So it's tough. It's tough for the Banners, and you're right. Those three conference losses gave them absolutely no margin for error, and now you got to go into Buffalo and take on a really good team and maybe the MVP favorite. Okay, time for a break here on Willard and Nibs. When we come back, we will continue to react to everything Kyle Shanahan say. I got to get something off my chest about Deebo Samuel. We can do that as well. Plenty more to get into. It's Willard and Nibs, but no Willard and Nibs this week. Mark Randy, Lone Neal, Jake Hutchinson. We're back with more next on 95.7 The Game.
It was reported over the weekend by Jay Glazer that Brock Purdy had a second MRI on his shoulder. Is that true? And if so, why a second one?
Because, yes, it's true. I mean, most guys we always get more than one when you get one. And it seems all right. Then you have some pain later in the week, so you get another one to make sure you didn't miss anything. And so that's what he did, I think, after the Thursday practice.
What is the nature of his injury?
The shoulder.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Not Willard and Dibs this week. It's Mark Randy, Lo Neal, Jake Hutchinson with you. And yes, Kyle, thank you. It is a shoulder injury for Brock Purdy. Thanks for being so clear and transparent with us. It is kind of weird how maybe it's not that big of a deal. It seems like maybe there's a chance, a decent chance, that Brock Purdy plays on Sunday in Buffalo. Kyle Shanahan saying that Brock got some light throwing in today and that the shoulder responded relatively well. They'll check back in on Wednesday after a day off tomorrow. It does seem to be a little bit more a bigger deal than just shoulder soreness. Two MRIs for shoulder soreness? I mean, Lo, I'm sure you have undergone countless MRIs in your career, but shoulder soreness, that just seems like something that, maybe after a day or two it feels better. It did not, so he got a second MRI and then was held out of the game on Sunday.
Yeah, I think that this sometimes also is just more, I don't know if it's more to meet the eye or if it's just, hey, look, I want to be precaution. And I think that, is this Shanahan being cautioned about it? No, I think maybe this is his agent. Maybe this is someone that's saying, let me protect my client. Brock Purdy, you know this guy. He tried to go out there in the NFC Championship game against Philly with the torn shoulder. I mean, it's
ACL. Yeah, he played with they called it oblique, but it was broken ribs against Seattle.
Yeah.
I think it was first season.
He just goes. The guy loves football. So is this where someone has to step in and say, look, we're going to get a second MRI? And no, my client, because I've been there where agents will say, look, I got a call from my client. I'm stepping in. This is contract year for this guy. Hey, look, you can go out there and play and sore shoulder. Guess what? They don't give a darn about you. You go out there and play with a sore shoulder. You can tell them, oh, my shoulder was sore, but you throw three interceptions. That's not good. That's going to affect your pocketbook. So this could be just the agent, parents, people that are around him just saying, hey, man, we know you love this team. We know you love ball. But, hey, look, let's make sure you're okay.
I do think it is something where if you're a quarterback who has yet to be paid and has massively outplayed your contract, it's not really in your best interest to go out there 50%. Even if it's more than that. If it's your throwing shoulder, you can play through other stuff, hip, lower legs, whatever it is.
Broken finger on your left hand.
Yeah, sure. Sure, exactly. But I think with Brock Purdy, I don't know if that's exactly what's going on, but I do think it is a concern that you go from, it's just shoulder soreness to, okay, he can barely throw the ball on Thursday before practice. He warms up and goes, no, and then he comes out. It's a little bit more than that. The fact that they had a second MRI, the fact that the reporting from, Adam Schefter in Rappaport was a little funny
weird.
Sunday morning. where Rappaport's putting it out there that the 49ers could be interested in Daniel Jones. Schefter says it's good. He's using more commas than I've ever seen from Adam Schefter to write a lengthy thing about how it's fine. But if it's not fine, it's also fine. It's a little weird.
And then Jay Glazer breaks the story. He got a second MRI. I think it's posturing for more money. And this is not me peddling or meddling or just being, you know, trying to clickbait or hot take. I'd be shocked if this guy plays anymore this year.
Really?
Is that hot?
I think that is within the realm of possibility. I think he plays this week. I think if he plays this week, you know, he plays out probably the rest of the year. But if he doesn't play and they lose, I could see them shutting it down.
What do you have to prove? You've already played and got injured for your team in the NFC Championship game. You've already played with broken ribs. You've already outplayed your contract. You've done all these things that this team has asked you to do. And you have done it being a good soldier. You've shut your mouth. You play. You never say anything negative. You might take a haircut because you want to make sure guys stay on the team. Why would you? You know you're not making the playoffs this year. You're talking about you got two Goliaths.
Only a game out of the...
Stop! I can't with you right now. You got Goliath this week, and then you got Goliath's twin next week. Think about what you have left on the schedule. Why would you... Because he can't, no matter what he does, if they lose these next two games, which Detroit and friggin'...
Well, you got Buffalo and then Chicago. Yeah. You got the Rams in Miami, then Detroit, and then Arizona to close it out.
Right. So if you're playing these games, what do you have to gain? All people are going to do is say, God, he played. Look what happened. They still lost. I just don't know if it's worth it for him to go through that when the season's pretty much over. And I know, and here's the thing. You know that he wants to play. You know that he can play probably. But it's just like, for what, though? I mean, it's like, I understand you played this game, and I love the game, but this guy has proven himself. He's earned this contract, and all he can do is hurt himself right now at this point in time.
I also think within this offense, it's been a problem all year, not just pass protection, but the way they run their offense. Brock is running a lot of stuff where they run the plays where it's hot. Some teams max protect, and some teams run it where it's hot. You get blitzed, and you throw to a guy immediately. But on those plays, Brock has taken a lot of shots, much more than a lot of other quarterbacks in this league have to take, because Kyle puts a lot on him, and Brock can drift in the pocket and throw away from a blindside blitzer.
And he's running a lot and taking hits on the run.
Running more than he's ever run. They have, I think, the second highest scramble rate in the entire NFL because of that, because they're not blocking well. They're not necessarily getting the right protections against these blitz looks. And so if you're Brock, knowing if you play against Buffalo, you're taking some shots, I think that has to be a consideration on his part. I don't necessarily think it's all business from him at his end.
No, not in his end.
But I think he has to definitely consider that.
But I'm with you. I don't think it's his business decision on his end. I think it's other people, outside sources, the agent. And I think maybe it's Shanahan saying, okay, do I really want to trot this guy out here against Buffalo where it's going to probably be 30 degrees, the weather's going to be horrible, your shoulder's already hurting, you already got tendonitis, you've been playing hard, you're out there, and we're not playing for anything. I just don't think that this guy plays this week. If he didn't play last week and you lost that game, I don't think they're going to play him this week. Even though he threw the ball, they said, okay, looked up, I don't see this guy playing this week.
And if he does not play again this year, they're probably losing every single game they play the rest of the season, which, I mean, at this point, okay, might not be the worst thing that could happen because you might get a better draft pick as a result. But the other thing that the Niners have to consider, and we got Doc Pandy cleared to play coming up in about 4 minutes here. We'll run through some of the Niners' injuries, including Brock Purdy, with the Doc in just a little bit. But if it is maybe a little bit more serious and he doesn't play the rest of the season, or maybe it's not that bad, but they hold him out because concern of it getting worse, something that the Niners have to consider is, to your throwing arm, you've already had a torn UCL, and now you got the shoulder problem, and is that a guy you want to sink $60 million a year into? Mm. Already had relatively big problems to two different key areas of his throwing arm. I mean, that's not nothing. That's something to consider.
Andy's not a guy with elite arm talent. You know, I've been a big defender of Brock in terms of people criticized his lack of arm talent, and I thought the way he operates in this offense with elite anticipation and the ability to read defenses, I think compensates for some of that. But when you don't have all those great skill players who are getting open and you can manipulate that. You know, the protection's not the best. There are some times where there are like hole shots open where he can throw it against like a cover two look and try and throw a bead right to Pearsall or something like that, and he doesn't have the arm talent to do it.
There's the Rams game where it was Ayuk wide open deep down the middle of the field, right? And he missed him. He didn't see him. Or maybe he saw him and didn't want to throw it.
And I think he's, and I think his anticipation and his mental acuity is what separates him. And I think this season, with the lack of protection, with the inconsistencies, he hasn't trusted what he's seen nearly as much. This offense has been out of sync. And so if you're a guy without that elite talent, he can scramble, but his arm talent is limited. I think you should ask some questions about, do you just sign him to a mammoth contract that's going to be north of $55 million a year, because that's what the market is.
Yeah, I think that this is going to be a situation where he looks at it and he's like, look, it's a strained shoulder. If it's a strained shoulder, they say it could take through to, you know, anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks. 6 weeks, that's the season. So if you look at this, I think there's going to be something like that where, okay, it's a bruised muscle. It could be week to week. It's going to depend on Brock. And, you know, maybe he plays another game, but I just don't think it's this week, because it's too much to ask this guy to go out here and try to win this game against Buffalo, the best team in the AFC, I think, right now, by far, you know, the best team in the AFC. So why would you do that to a guy who's already carried you, the length that he's carried you? And like you talk about, just his arm being sore, and it's the same side, his throwing arm. If you really care about this guy, not necessarily care about this guy, if this is going to be your quarterback of the future, why would you want to put him under that type of duress anyway?
I think it's a fair question.
Season's not over yet. You're a game out of the division. I know you don't want to hear that, but, I mean, you string something together, you can still win the division. It is well within your reach.
Even if you,
I'm not counting on it anymore, but
I don't even think if you won out, you'd win the division. It's going to be really tough.
If they won out, they'd win the division.
I think if they won out, they would win the division. But
I mean, that's the odds of they're not winning out.
No. When you're facing the Bills on the road, you host the worst team you face are the Bears, who are looking a lot better since firing Shane Waldron. They're unpredictable. They've at least got some guys. Then you get the Rams. You know, that one you have to win. Then on the road to the Dolphins, host the Lions, finish with the Cardinals on the road. It's a grinder.
Very much so. I'm not confident. I'm just saying.
I know you're not. You're over here trying
to bait.
I'm not even going to let you bait me right now. We got the doc on the phone. I'm not going
to
let
you. We got 2 more hours. I got a little bit more time to bait you.
He's trying. He's just doing it.
All right. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey.